Colossians chapter 3, if you want to turn in your Bibles. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, if you're willing to come out and holler and yell, I'm going to run my first marathon on the 4th. We'll see what happens. Kelvin, you're going to run with me, right? Your mother said you were going to run with me. So you're not going to run with me? Yeah. Okay, but that'll be on the 4th. At 8 o'clock, I'm going to run my first marathon. What a challenge. So Colossians 3, what a day just to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this passage reminds us of its importance in our Christian lives. Notice verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and in all. So the title of our message is Risen with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege to assemble here this morning and open your word together. Use the word in our hearts now to teach us, to grow us, to convict us, to meet needs and comfort, whatever the need might be. You know those needs, and we pray you would miraculously meet those this morning through your powerful word. We want Jesus Christ to be lifted up in this service as we reflect upon his victorious resurrection, and we pray that you would meet with us now. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If ye be risen with Christ. If you're here this morning, you're born again, you are risen with Christ. Isn't that an exciting thought? Look back in chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. The day that you were born again, you were placed into Christ. You became part of Jesus Christ. You became bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Time means nothing to God. And when God looks at us now, he sees us in Christ. And therefore, when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. That's why when we baptize, which is just a symbol of what happened, we talk about buried with him and risen again to walk in newness of life. We have been risen again with Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. That's good news. That Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, as we read on the first day of the week, early in the morning. And we rose with him 2,000 years ago because we are in him. And the Bible says, if that be true, if you're risen with Christ, then there are some things that should be changed in your life. The Holy Spirit will make these things real in your life, but what God is saying is you are a new person. You're a new creature, as we know it from Scripture. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so as we walk through this passage, God is revealing to us the changes that should be happening in our lives because we are risen with Christ. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something that we have to come together and try to prove this morning. If we didn't believe in it, we wouldn't be here, right? If we didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, there'd be no point in Christianity, there'd be no point in church, because it's the cornerstone that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but he also rose from the dead to show he had the power over death and the power to give us eternal life. And so it is, again, one of the cornerstones of our faith that our Savior came back from the dead and rose again that Sunday morning. So let's walk through this together and see what God wants in our lives if we are risen with Christ. Firstly, verse 1, seek those things which are above. If we're truly risen with Jesus Christ, God's will is that our focus now be on heavenly things, future things, rather than earthly things. The things that we should seek, the things that we focus on now are, we have new goals. We have new things that should be important to us. As the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at Philippians chapter 3, if you would, verse 20, just back one book from Colossians, Philippians 3, verse 20. And the Bible says that our conversation, that's talking about our lives, everything that we do, it says, Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. You say, well, that's tough because I live here on earth. Yes, it is tough. It's a battle. It's a battle every day. Am I going to live for here or am I going to live for there? Am I going to live for the flesh or am I going to live for the spirit? And it never ends, this battle. We've got the world against us. We've got the flesh fighting against us. We've got the devil fighting against us. But we have Jesus. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And God's will is if we are risen with Christ, that we be seeking those things which are above. The things that we focus on, the things that are important to us, should now be heavenly things. Because we may spend 80 years, amen, Brother Norm, on this earth. We might spend 100, maybe 110. How many years are we going to spend in heaven? Exactly. And this time on earth is just going to feel like a little blip on the radar. God says, I want you to have a new focus. I want you to be seeking things which are above, not on things on the earth. Number two, in our passage, Colossians 3, verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above. So not only are we seeking the things above, but that is to be the seat now of our affections. A resurrected Christian should have new affections. As I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creature. A new creature has new affections or new desires. And those desires are to be, as it says here, things above, not on things on the earth. Now, if you go to 1 John chapter 2, God tells us what the things on the earth are consisted of. There's three basic categories, if you will. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Of the things on the earth. And God says that should not be the seat of our affections anymore. Notice 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the affections of the earth. By the way, just as a bit of trivia, if you look at the Garden of Eden, those were the three areas where the devil tempted Eve. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if you look at the temptation of Jesus Christ in the desert, those were the three ways in which Satan tempted Christ. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those are the three areas where the devil tempts us. But our affections are new because we are new. Because if you look back in our passage, it says, for ye are dead. Colossians 3:3, you're dead. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of complicated sometimes. Because when you're born again, now you have a new life. But you also just died. Because you've been crucified with Christ. So now your flesh is dead. The old man is dead. The spirit, which was dead, is now alive. So now we're to be allowing the spirit, the Holy Spirit, to lead our spirit that we might set our affection on things above and stop listening to the old man, which we used to listen to, who is now dead. And so we have to obviously be born again, have a new life for all of this to be true. Those who never are saved remain dead, but their spirit remains dead, and eventually their body will die. that the old man has now, as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. What did he mean? He means the old man is dead. The old man has been crucified. Look at Romans chapter 6, and God explains it much better than I could, that we are, the old man is dead. Therefore, our affections and our what we seek and what we have our affections for should be heavenly things, not things related to the old man. Notice Romans 6, verse 3. The Bible says, know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptized into his death, that is not talking about water baptism. That means the day that you were saved, you were baptized into Jesus Christ, and when he died, we died with him. And when he rose again, we rose again with him, as we talked about earlier. We are dead. Back in our passage, God expounds upon that a little bit here in verses 5 through 10, that now that we are a Christian, we are dead. Notice he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he lists all the areas that the old man tries to lead us astray. And it's quite a list, isn't it? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, verse 9, lying. That's just part of the list. That talks about how wicked the old man is. But that old man is dead. And God wants the new man to be in control of our lives. He wants us to be seeking those things which are above, setting our affection on things which are above. Notice back in our passage, Colossians 3:3, your life is hid with Christ in God. Remember we talked earlier about how the day we were saved, we were placed into Christ, we became part of Jesus Christ. Not only were we baptized into his death, not only were we raised again from the dead with him, but now we are hidden in him. How exciting is that? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. And he goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he goes on to say, and my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are hid in Christ. Go back to Ephesians 2, books to the left, verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2, 4, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we can take it a step further. Put your head around this one. Not only have you been crucified, not only have you risen from the dead, but you're already in heaven. That's what it says. It doesn't say we will be seated in heavenly places. It says we are seated in heavenly places. How can that be possible? We're seated here in this room. Again, time means nothing to God. God sees us in Christ, and Christ is in heaven. So we're in him. So though for this short time we're here on earth, we're already in Christ, and therefore we're already in heaven. And so God is saying, these are the things that make it ever so clear that this should now be the focus of your life. What you seek, what you set your affections on, should be heavenly things. Go back to our passage, Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, so Jesus, when he saved us, not only gave us life, but he became our life. And that's what Paul meant when he said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he goes on to say, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So now God is living his life through us. How exciting is that? And as we yield to him, the victory comes. So he is our life. He didn't just give us life. He is our life. And it says, you shall also appear with him in glory. course, that day is coming when he will come to take us, but also we get to come back with him. As Jude said, he will return with 10,000s of his saints. So God wants us to seek things which are above. He wants us to set our affection on things above. Thirdly, this morning, verse 8. Put off. If you are born again this morning, God wants you to put off the old man. Now he uses the word in verse 5, mortify. Mortify your members, which are upon the earth. Mortify these things. These things should be not part of your life anymore. This long list that we talked about. Because the old man is dead. Go to Galatians, chapter 5. And the Bible talks about what happens when we yield to the Spirit of God and let the new man run our lives. The old man who's been crucified is pushed aside and no longer rules what we do and what we think. Notice Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So God is saying, if you are risen with Christ, and I hope everybody in this room can say, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm part of Jesus. If you can say that this morning, God says, now I want you to seek those things which are above. I want you to set your affection on things above. And I want you to put off the old man. Put off the fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, the evil concupiscence, the covetousness, the idolatry, the lying. Put them off. The anger, the malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Put them off. Verse 9, put off the old man. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter 4, where God explains it for us. Say, well, who's this old man? That's who ruled your life until the day you were saved. That is who got crucified the day you were saved. And that is who keeps trying to stir up trouble in your life, even though he is dead. Unfortunately, he still rears his ugly head and says, I'd rather you listen to me than listen to the Spirit. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The next verse, he tells us how to make that possible. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Can anybody think of anything in this room that has the power to renew our minds? You're holding it in your hands. Amen? The Word of God. And what's he saying in verse 24? And that you put on the new man. Put on the new man which is created, renewed in knowledge and after the image of him that created him. So this is the third thing that God wants. He wants us to change what we seek. He wants us to change what we set our affections on. And he wants us to change who we listen to. Put off the old man, as he says here in Colossians, verse 8. Colossians, verse 10. Put on the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, it says in Ephesians 4:24. How do I do this? How do I put on the new man? It's got to be something you do every day. God uses the word yield in Romans chapter 6. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. But it is a daily thing. It'd be nice if we could just come to an altar one day and say, from this day forward, I'm filled with the Spirit and the new man runs my life. And I won't have any more problems with the old man. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? It doesn't work like that. The Christian life is a daily battle. Paul said, I die daily. Every day I have to re-crucify the old man. Every day I have to put that old man down. Every day I have to tell him to leave me alone. Every day I have to yield. I have to get into the Word and renew the spirit of my mind. Every day I have to yield myself to the new man and allow the Holy Spirit to run my life. It's a daily thing. But if you're risen with Christ, it's a possible thing. Otherwise, God wouldn't have told us to do it. So if we are risen with Jesus Christ, which, by the way, it says in Colossians 3:11 at the end, He is all and in all. Jesus is everything. But Jesus has all the power, too. As I mentioned earlier, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus lives in us if we're born again. So the power's there. And so we aren't going to be able to get to heaven someday and say, Lord, I know you told me to walk in the Spirit, but I just couldn't do it. I know you told me to put off the old man and put on the new. I just couldn't do it. We're not even going to try to say that when we're in His presence, because it's just not true. We could do it with God's help. We all have the same Holy Spirit living in us who gives us the power to do what He's called us to do. Just put off the old and put on the new. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. If you're risen with Christ, these things are not only possible, but these things are what God expects of us. And we will answer to Him one day whether or not we chose to make them real in our walk. That's the truth of the matter. The Bible mentions 1 John that we might have confidence and not be ashamed before Him that is coming. Let's be risen with Christ. Not just doctrinally, but daily. Be risen with Christ. And live a life that's new. A life that has new affections. A life that is seeking things which are above. A life that is allowing the new man, the Spirit of God, to run our lives. Keeps the old man crucified and not running our lives. We can do this if we're risen with Christ. That's